4341790 Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Another spin on the Nelson whole debate.
Mm-hmm.
A present minister in this government, years ago, the previous government, signed the Republic Song because the then government wanted to change to the Barbados Republic. And this is what, 15, 10 is 25, into 27 years later, nothing happened. Why don't we change Queen's Park to Heroes Park, where you can put a bus from one gate, or bus of the heroes who do not have a big statue right now, from one gate to the next gate, change back, Hero Square to Trafalgar Square, problem solved. Because Nelson was there before it was named Hero Square. I remember as a boy, I think that I'm in my 60s, you know, he used to always carry me up Broad Street, and you learn certain things because of where Nelson is.
And what were the things you learned?
Well, how to find certain areas.
Navigate town. So
yeah.
It was a landmark.
A landmark.
Okay.
All right? And I find the easiest thing to do, rename it Trafalgar Square, rename Queen's Park, Heroes Park, and you got Southgate, Northgate, however you want, Eastgate, however you want to put it. And along that road, you can put a little bus of heroes on the little, along the walkway, on either side, like from this T-shed going right up.
Do you think it would have the same effect as the statue does at the top of Broad Street? Do you think the people have said that having Nelson in the middle of our city, the middle of our financial district, in front of our parliament, is an affront to the state of our nation, our nationhood? It's too prominent a place, in other words. You don't think that's a strong enough argument?
No, because if you want to change everything, that means you got to knock down Chauffette Building that used to house the slaves. You got to change it so much things.
You sure people won't want to change? You see, now here's the question I have for you then. In the United States, I had a discussion this morning with the ambassador. There is a similar argument taking place about Confederate statues, relics of the past. Even Columbus, Ohio wants to change the name of the city from Columbus because of the association with Don Christopher Colon, who I don't think even went to Ohio. Right? So the question that keeps coming up is just taking down monuments or changing the names of cities, streets, places, any real impact on the psychological makeup of your nation? Do you think that that is important to the psychological development of your nation? To change the names of places, Codrington College, and the various other places that have been named after people who you may question, was their connection to me today?
But all the things that you change, sitting and change history.
That's a fact, but...
Right on. History is still there. Just that younger people now ain't gonna know a thing about Nelson. I knew because, hey, I grew up as a youngster.
Passed it on to anybody?
No, I was talking to some friends and whatever, and I tell them. But some of them agree and whatever. Because I'm looking at Queen's Park, Daphne Hackett Theater. You can put the pictures of the heroes in there instead of putting them in a bond until Heroes Day. And in Queen's Park, people know we're going inside there, take pictures, they even have picnic and play a cricket game. You got a whole park. Instead of blocking off Broad Street on Heroes Day to present whatever. Then you got the music and whatever, Queen's Park, and you got thousands of people, the park on the pass on the other side.
They may not pay attention, dude.
And you got Broad Street running clear all the time.
Sir, I hear your comments, and that's why I suppose the Prime Minister said that we should dialogue.
I think
we've dialogued for quite a while, but I will.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll hear more dialogue once I sit here.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. 434-1790, Brass Tax. Good afternoon.
Dennis, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm trying to live, living one day at a time.
You sure?
The guy asked a question just now. You really didn't call about this. He was skirting and everything, but the truth is this. If you take down all the things that we were taught about relative to the history, then from here on in, those young kids coming up won't know nothing about the history, right or wrong?
So they learn it in school.
They learn in school?
Yeah, that's where they learn it.
I know. And the other thing too is that about the white people, I mean, some people going down the line that white people, this and white people, I don't think it's all. I think a lot of them still have different feelings or some of the same feelings that we have. So we can't paint all with the same brush. And in the case of that, you would wonder how Busy Williams would feel. You know what I mean? So, and certain fellas, but that's the way. Anyhow, that's not what you really call about. That's only about the way. Listen to it. But I think I ain't got no problem with moving there. Since that's moving or whatever, I ain't got no problem. People are entitled to vote on it and decide on what they want. And if you put people in parliament to do that job. I got a question for you, Dennis. What is the speed limit on the ABC highway from the bottom of the university up to the airport?
As far as I know, from the bottom of University Drive?
Yeah, bomb nobody wrong about the bomb university.
Where it joins the Spring Garden Highway before it becomes the mighty Griner Highway. As far as I know, that speed limit is 60, unless they change
that's
it.
60. As far as I know. And they got two lanes going up there, one for slower moving traffic.
They say that slower moving traffic should stick to the left. There was a sign saying so at one time, but I don't know if it still exists because I see container trucks on the right and the left and some big gas tankers too.
Yeah, but that's it. That is why the signs were put, maybe that those vehicles could use the left lane and let us overtake and go up. And after you pass that area, you're going up to from Warren Roundabout all the way up to Gary Stober's Roundabout. No question, to Buster Roundabout, sorry. That is 80 kilometers.
Correct.
From the Buster Roundabout.
When you get down to BET, it's 60. The Garfield Service.
No.
Wait, no, they got different speeds. They got different speeds because when you get to.
We get the roundabout by Polytechnic.
Yeah, you got to slow down some more going downhill. Correct.
After you get a corner to the right by the overpass, it goes back to 60. Mm-hmm. And after you pass the other roundabout by Tommy Rendezvous, which used to be the Gary Service roundabout, it goes 80 up to the Grand Island Airport.
Correct.
Do you know the speed limit on the stretch of road across Das Valley?
Unless otherwise mentioned, I think it should be 60.
It's only 60.
Correct.
The only other road that is 80 is Spring Garden Highway and a section from the
Ronald Map Highway just after you pass Baker's Woods.
Good. Baker's Woods going north, that is 80 kilometers.
Correct.
Now, I know for sure there's nothing in the law that states that a learner driver must drive slow. A learner driver, when he or she comes on the road, should be able to handle the road in a manner like if they had a license. So they have to be up to the speed limit. If you're on the ABC highway, it's 80, get up to 70, 75 in that area. I understand that someone this morning, because they keep phoning me, people just call me whenever they send me on the road with traffic, that some said that the police clock a learner driver coming across Das Valley driving at 50, 51 kilometers. That student is within the range of the law, and they're saying that they shouldn't be going so fast. That is not true. That student can go up to close to 60 kilometers. It does not mean because they have on a learner permit that they should drive like a little slow boat. They're saying that it's too much too fast for a learner. Come on, when they get late, so what are they going to do?
Hopefully drive within the speed limit.
Great. Now you come across the highway, you're doing 75 kilometers with a learner, and people are cussing a telecan and the gully can, and it was as if they did not learn to drive on the road with everybody else because they want you to go 100 because they want to go 150. But you know what? I believe that those persons are persons who got up from Sunday morning and got the license on a breakfast table. They didn't come for the road. And we have to be cognizant of these things. That is far as that is concerned. The speed limit for a learner is the same as for someone who has license. I want that because it's done. The law says different. Any comment?
No, sir. I don't have the law with me, so I can't either challenge you on that or support you on it. I would I would go along with your learning on the subject.
You know, in the classroom.
You see this classroom thing? I have no patience to teach anybody. That's why I did not even try to teach my children to drive, because we would fall out.
I'm like Job. You know what I mean?
No, I'm learning patience, but I don't have patience to teach.
I might not be the QE, but I got a lot of patience. But let me get to another one that people keep calling me and asking me to respond to. Uh-huh. I have so many phone calls.
About?
That is when there was a situation with the roundabout up there below Carridge.
Yes, you came on air with that.
And people came and said that I up against the government. I always against the government for doing things. And I up against, I ask questions. I call and I spoke even about the roundabout, which we need down at the intersection with Cyan Hill and Westmoreland. The same way a roundabout could work in Warren. The same way a roundabout could work in Jackson. The same way one could work at Combermere. This is a beautiful roundabout.
I know that's your favorite one. You know. I will start a petition that they name that one after you.
They should. But listen, the only roundabout I wanted to name after me is the egg about the one up Christchurch. So going up Towers, Fairfax, Oysters, and going up Towers. What they name. Anyhow, forget that. But the city roundabout, the lights at this intersection, people ask me what's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't feel they should put no lights there.
Why?
I honestly feel they should put a roundabout. Watch me, Dennis.
What will the roundabout do?
Let me show Sonny. Let me give you an example. A few days ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
It hurt me to see two SUVs hit real hard at a traffic light got flashing red. There's nobody should
have that. That's ignorance of the driver, sir.
That's what I'm telling you.
But you can't design a road for ignorant drivers. You should know that.
Dennis.
How long have you been on the road?
But Dennis, if you design the road to slow it down.
No, listen. Okay, so let me ask you this question. I can come back to the Sandhill roundabout traffic lights in a minute, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Here's the challenge. Just up by Transtech, how many roundabouts they put in there by Kuiman Hardware.
How many?
How many roundabouts they got there?
They two there in that short circuit.
In the space of 150 yards.
Which I think it cover, but there's a technique.
I ain't measured, but about 150 yards. Then. Okay, less
yeah,
than that.
Yeah.
You think that will solve the traffic problem? Or create one?
Let's look
at another thing. I can come back
it's
to
confusing.
I'm not gonna pull you off. I can come back to it.
Yeah.
Service stations close to roundabouts. The one in that same Kendall Hill area, getting in and out of there next to that very popular supermarket.
Not only that.
Hold on, don't move yet. Don't move yet. Don't take off yet, man. Keep your foot on the brake. 2 seconds. Right?
The flyer.
And then the one on the roundabout by Simpson Motors, KFC, Chaffet, multiple roundabouts again, coming right off the highway, entrance and exit to a service station. You think we've learned anything from those almost, I don't know, insane pieces of traffic regulating things called roundabouts? You see why I have a problem with roundabouts? That's one.
Let me
back to the traffic light for a minute.
Yeah.
There are certain roundabouts where the crossing works beautifully because either people have become accustomed to them or the volume of pedestrian traffic. The one leading up to the roundabout that you refer to as a bus roundabout, but that's not the name of the roundabout. You know that. It has another name.
That has worked beautifully. That
correct. Worked beautifully. I find people stop and let people cross at that roundabout, patiently.
I think that is where the people now are correct. Black Lives Matter. So buses was called that. Go ahead.
So we should put buses on every roundabout in Barbados. No, but it works. Doesn't it work?
Some orders that will work. Who you asking? Some orders that will work. Because get accidents every day. And it's all because people don't follow the rules. Every day. I put it on the office last week. People just go through that roundabout anyhow as they like. But let me explain to you what I'm talking about.
Westmoreland,
right? Now, what I look at, right, is that it's going to slow down the traffic a bit and it's still going to flow. But you're gonna have to stop that traffic at that junction to let one vehicle come off the top side.
Correct.
Of Sand Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And and that traffic is heavy on that road daily, boss. So if you slow down the traffic at a mini roundabout, people will be able to look to the right to go ahead easily. That is my interpretation. Now you're gonna put a traffic light, and let me tell you something. The amount of people I see coming through red lights, that is hurtful. I always tell my students, and I tell myself, vehicle is 1, 2, 3. Count 1, 2, 3, the moment that light go on green and then move. Because 4 vehicles coming through that red light.
And sir, I am going to tell you, right, that is not the only one like that. There are several traffic lights like that in Barbados. Station
All
Hill.
Of them.
Everyone, correct.
All of them.
Correct.
Everyone.
Correct. And sir,
everyone.
And my thing is this. One has to remember that section of the road is also used by trailers.
Yeah.
On tractors, sometimes multiple trailers. So
yeah,
I do not know what went into the thinking, the checking of that junction. I also say that's one of the widest sections of that particular roadway. And therefore, I will hold my peace on what the experts think is the best thing to put in that location.
Before I run, the one at Redmond Village, it's a small roundabout. A lot of big vehicles use that though to get around good. But look, They don't use that well at all, though. But they should have put the roundabout right by the gas station. I'll run it back down there. But
not another gas station by a roundabout, please. I just tell you, two that's caused trouble. Man, don't do me that, man.
But that is it. I don't want the ministry or anybody to see that I'm objecting to what they're doing. Some study would have had to.
I just sent a message to the Prime Minister asking to make it a minister.
When people call me and ask me questions, what is my thought? What do you think about it? I can only give my thoughts because I'm on the road daily. A lot of people see that I'm an expert on it. I'm not an expert. If I see it from my eyes, don't get vexed with me because of the way I see it. If you see it from another one, I have no problem with it. But I just explain, and I know we can get foolish accidents that I run about. Because a fella can see the lights on red, he's coming down the hill, he's going to try to catch it. And before he gets it, turns to red and amber, for amber to red and crap or smoke somebody bite. Because
we will
want
put
people to understand before he go. The last one before he go, Dennis. Motors, this is clear and simple. Green means go. Amber, red means stop. When you see a flashing amber light, it means proceed with caution. When you see a flashing red, so help me God, talk. Extreme caution must use. Red any part of the world, from a woman's head, from his foot, in the dark road, wherever red is. Red means talk, and then use as extreme a caution as possible. It is better for you to wait for a few seconds than play you run into a red and they go visit and casualty. Have a good one, Dennis.
You too, my friend. I hope you traveled. Look, we need to have better educated drivers on our roads and people who obey the traffic signs, signals, and what they learn when you teach them. Brass Dacks, good afternoon.
Peace be unto you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right, sir, and you?
By God's grace, I'm richly blessed. Now, I've been listening to... I find it is a task now I have to... That I spend the time to come to school. And therefore, I've been, you know, find myself following the program compulsively, daily, you know. And it helps me a lot because I love history. I've been listening to most of your callers and to hear what they have to say. And I overheard one or two things, but one of the things I want to talk about mainly is listening to people and talking about, you know, now the coronavirus has hit us. Suddenly, I found a lot of people living from day to day or week to week, salaries and whatnot. And I want to say one thing that my father taught me when I was a boy, and he told me something. He used to tell me a lot of things, and there's one thing that he told me, that there was a lady working at the plantation, and one day, in those days, you know, people used to get $5 for reading a farm and $6 and $7. for holy. And one day, one of the ladies on the plantation approached the manager to borrow $100. The manager asked the lady, $100? Do you know how to spend $100? She said, I will get it spent. You just lend me the $100. She said, how are you going to pay me? She said, you can take it back out $5 a week. He said, but that's just nearly as much as I pay you for the work. She said, don't mind. So he was impressed with it, and he lent her the $100. After about 20 weeks, she went back to him again and said, could you lend me another $100? The manager said, were you spending this $100 very fast? What are you doing with it? She never told him. But you know what she was doing with the $100? She went and put the $100 on the bank. And then she would work and pay him back $5 a week. Here was the reason why. In those days, there were people who used to run, you call a susu or something like that. You know, a meeting turn.
Mm-hmm.
And when your meeting turn come around, the gentleman or lady who would run in the susu look forward for you to give them something. Right? So, not to have the problem with, cost your money costing money, she then had to give the bank nothing at that time, because the bank at that time used to give you a little something, interest rate. You following me, Terry?
So I'm listening to you very clearly. So the only reason people keep making that statement is that because from time to time, I lean back away from the microphone, so you won't hear me right up in your face. Let me put it that way.
Yeah,
it's not that going anywhere. I can't move till
two. Okay, thank you. So what I mean to say is, yes, there's a lot of education that we need to teach our family, our children, and everything about money. And saving money. And therefore, I heard somebody on your program earlier said, you can have all the education you want and you don't have any money that when you go to the table, you ain't caught. You can do not talking, but you don't have any money to back it up. So I do not know if this little story that my father gave me would help a lot of people out there, because young workers, they go to work with their bosses and the place they work, you know, could adopt the same principle.
You know, sir, the challenge for a lot of people, for some people, let me put it that way, is that you have to have a reason to save. I think very few people have a reason to save. They have more of a need to acquire things to make them comfortable or to make them appear to be a part of the particular crowd that they run with. If you don't have a reason for doing something, it's really hard to do it. And this philosophy of saving for a rainy day perhaps is not taught with the vigor it was when you were a younger person. Always good to hear you say it's good to know that you've continued to follow the program. Good to hear from you. Brastex, good afternoon. Hello. 434-1790, Brastex, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, this is Mohammed Nasser. How are you?
I am fine, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. The family all good, too?
They're always good, sir. They're good.
Okay. I want to say two little things here before I say what I would ever call about. There's a lady that she and her mother just give me quite a lot of work to do. And this is the second I met her, and the mother, And she tell me to tell you that she hope that you and your wife live forever happily, but if your wife or you ever go for any reason, understand that there's someone love you, they're waiting for you.
Well, you see, these people who love me one of these days, right? I will get all this love. I'll be one of the most loved people on the planet. But tell me. Listen, I hope you only know nice ladies. I don't doubt that. I just tell the lady I'm thankful for the love. We all need a little love.
Now, the next thing I want to say to you, sir, and to my buddy was on there, about the traffic. Mm-hmm. Every one of my children, he trained to drive. He learned to drive, you know.
Yeah?
He trained him to drive, yeah. So, but I want to say something to him, and maybe you would pick it up if you don't have it. Yeah. Anytime people see a yellow light, they should stop. Amber light means that you should stop. In other words, the amber light give you a chance. Suppose somebody too fast behind you. Because the amber, you could go through, but the truth is, once you see the amber appear, you should stop. You should not be fighting to get through the amber, hoping that the red one get there. He's good at what he said. They want you to think about it too. You should not be going. When you see an amber light, you should be stopping.
They've learned it from the Paul Keen Slugger School of Teaching, sir. Who get their first pass first? Speed up! Anyway, he was being sarcastic, because that's what people do.
No, I'm serious.
Once you
see that yellow light, a sensible person should stop. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, they should stop halfway before the light, you know. But when you see that light, you should not be trying to beat that yellow light. And you will have a lot less accident. Now, did you read Mr. Johnson's Monday papers?
Yeah, I usually do.
The Nation editorial on Monday?
Yes, I did.
No, you know that NASA wrote that.
Yeah? Okay.
You ever have to write it? You didn't read it? If you read it, you'll know that I write it. I did not write it. The editor, whoever the editor is.
You dictated it to them then?
But when you look at all the things that it has in, that is NASA saying them things. You hear any Parliament yesterday? I hear Honorable Marsha Cattle and Honorable Simmons and another one. But these two, for instance,
Doctor, did you listen to or read the representative for St. Philip? You should.
No, I didn't.
You should.
No, I didn't hear. I didn't hear him. Hear one.
Not him. Her. The her. The her. Doctor.
No.
Okay.
No, the doctor. Sorry.
Yeah, Doctor Sonia. Yeah. Okay, but you should. It's an interesting piece.
I'll pick it up, don't worry. Mm-hmm. You understand what they're saying. First, this is years and years I've been telling this country, I don't care which government in office, they allow the same thing to happen all the time, so you don't know. The Honorable Minister Simmons, Minister of Tourism, talk is a change. You cannot have a society where you allow minority people to control all the wealth and all the wealth generating sectors of a country and believe that you as a government is to say nothing about it. So I'm very glad to hear what Mr. Simmons said, but he will be do something about it. If a taxi man with one taxi has to wait in a line of taxi companies, 50 taxis should have the 50 taxis in line too, and all should be going and rotating and coming out. Not taking all the work and giving it to a minority group and then the other taxi man fighting. I see them down there. Some of the players go inside, some stay outside, and they're always under pressure. So I also, and I hear also Honorable Marsha Cal say that it's time enough that the government pay for elections instead of politicians having to get favors from minority people. She might not use these words, but I think that's exactly what she's saying there. Because obviously, she's right. If the government of the day have to go, and by the way, let me tell you what all two parties do, Mr. Johnson. They have some private parties for white people only. I'm going to repeat that again. Both political parties. I ran in two elections, so I'm not guessing. Even the last election, they will have parties for white people only. But have you ever had the who going to run for the parliament there? And maybe he campaign manager or she campaign manager. But all of them don't do it, but a lot of them do it. And I'm not guessing. And they raise a lot of money. Now, I ask in this year, Mr. Johnson, when these politicians raise all these money with these private white company, white people, do you answer the question to you, Mr. Johnson? Why should black people put everything on the line for black politicians, but when the politicians win and the black people decide they want some help, people are saying that they should not be asking for any? That makes sense to you.
Sir, because you see, here's the system that we've perpetuated for years. We know why it happens. We know that campaign financing is at the root of a lot of the what we call the corruption in government. And I'm using the term corruption here, not that people are doing ill things. I'm using the term corruption to mean it makes the system of individual representation go off stream. Let me say this to you, because here is the reason. The politician who needs the finance to incentivize, let me use Mr. One of my colleagues' words, incentivize people to speak for, to put them in the house, can then turn around and say to the individuals who gave them the most finance capital, you now have to make sure that 20 of my constituents get a little pick, or my niece get a little pick, or my goddaughter get a little pick, because if I put them in government, people can say I give my niece a pick and I can get in trouble. So here's what I want you to do for me. I will do so and so and so for you. One hand can clap, scratch my back when I scratch yours, whatever you want to do. But my daughter needs a little pick, or 5 people in my constituency want a little pick, or 20 people in my constituency want a water tank or some electrical work done or window replaced or something. Sir, that is the system that we have perpetuated. Let me say this to you. If you gave the contracts to 50 black companies, you think you could get them to give you that kind of support?
No, I agree, Mr. Johnson.
Good. So that's why they don't do it.
May you find the same track. But believe
I know, but I walk in slow because I can't run at my age. I got crooked legs. Look, I can fall down on my face.
Listen, what you're doing, I'm going to laugh. My argument.
I know, yeah, I know that.
All you're doing is strengthening my argument. But I say this, that the black fellas might not give as much, but they will give to. Mr. Johnson,
I'm telling you they won't. I know several black fellas who give.
I know. I am no teenager, Mr. Johnson. I know this country backward. That's why I'm not afraid of anybody in this country. The truth is that we have to start sharing some of the wealth of this country with more people. And if they don't do that, we're going to have problems all the time.
So the country has no wealth. That's the problem. The wealth of the country resides in the hands of the few that you talk about. And it can't be taken out of their hands and distributed to anybody else because their hands close real tight. And the only way the political parties could get it is when they invite them to the big dinners you talk about and say, give me a little help to get elected. Sir, the problem that we will continue to face is that the economies of our countries in the region, Barbados is no exclusion, was built on the fact that some came, some took, some held, while some who had gave it away too cheaply, gave it away because they were under pressure, gave it away because they couldn't do anything else, and said to their people, well, you have to try your best because they're in control. So when the political fortune switched and it went from the hands of landowners to the hands of those who didn't have found themselves beholden to the landowners to get them elected. And we have not changed that pyramid since then. We talk about it all the time. And that's why I spoke this morning about the fact that back in 1960s, 1970s, that was supposed to have changed. This is 2020. I ain't 60 no more, I'm 60 plus. And it has not changed by us talking about it. And it has not changed by us agitating either. It hasn't changed by revolutions in a couple, or attempted revolutions in a couple Caribbean islands either. So the question is, if we're still on this road to change, what's the strategy? How we plan to get there? And what would you do when we get there? Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Am I on?
You are.
Oh. I will ask three questions. Could you tell me if our history has been written?
Not all of it.
No. Because I think that's where the problem is. Hello?
Ma'am, I'm listening to you. Ask me if our history has been written. I said, not all of it.
Oh. Well, I think that the whole of it should be written. I think.
Ma'am, it can't be written. We live history every day.
We
live history every day. What happened 10 years ago is history to somebody 20 years from now. So our history is not finished.
I mean like slavery time. I'll tell the story. Because I think if it was written, or people don't want to be written because it don't sound nice, but at least it would help people to understand the truth. You know? Because by the truth not being told, everybody come up with a different story and all that kind of thing. I think that's where the problem is.
That's why it's called his story.
Hmm?
That's why it's called his story. You write it the way you see. If I asked you, what do you think of the last 20 years in Barbados? Do you think what you say will be the same thing everybody who's lived through the last 20 years said?
Well, perhaps not. But
exactly. So if you decide, no, ma'am, come on. If you decided to write it and nobody else decided to write their version of it, it wouldn't make your version correct. It would just mean you're the only person who wrote it.
Well, let me say, if the historians written it on facts.
They never do, ma'am.
Pardon?
They never do.
They never do?
No.
That is what I was saying. So that's the whole story of this black and white and yellow and pink. Because, let me say, not Barbados alone, but the whole world, majority, let me say 80-something%, don't like the truth, especially when it don't make them look good. But if we tell the truth, or have a little dialogue or whatever, I think you might don't like it, but it's written in your brain, you will come to accept it, whatever you think. Because what I'm saying this is like, we're recording about black and white and all that. As I look at it, I could see it's like from the slave owners and the Africans that came here. They used to work in the house where the men might do the hard work. And as I think, would think, if I bought something, it's mine. Whether what I do with it, God would deal me with. But the point is, you can do as you like. We're saying you bought. And this is where I see the history. So, to me, I don't know what you would think, but this is how we look at it. You know, like, you're the slave. I buy you. So, you would say the white Englishman then had a relationship with the maid, had a child, which if you think about it, she might have, suppose she had two children before she come here. And then that child would be their children's brother. But nobody want to accept it. And they're not going to love it. And I presume what I look and see in the picture is that the same woman, when Masi was sworn not to say anything, but I remember hearing in Tom Clark's book, he said something, and it ticked with me. He said, the maid was nursing the child. I mean, no, that's impossible. Because no person, white person, allow you to nurse their baby unless it's yours.
Ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest, right, that in your quest for knowledge, you try to open your mind to what someone else may have experienced and wrote as opposed to what
no,
you
I'm,
believe.
I'm, no.
Ma'am, listen, just give me a second. Let me say this to you.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. There are people who hired nannies and other people to nurse their babies for them. That was done. Okay, thank you.
But there are other stories.
Ma'am, and that's my point. And that's why I told you that history is written from the perspective of the writer. And therefore, one sometimes gets different perspectives of a particular period if you listen or you read other people's versions of the event or events. And you will come to your conclusion, which may not coincide with anybody's version of events. I've lived through periods of that I think are of historic importance to the region. And I've read versions of what took place. And I asked myself, where on earth was I when some of the things I read written in newspapers and as fact happened? Because I was there. And some of the things I see written just didn't happen that way. But until I decide to write my version of it, which people may say, you know, well, you know what you're talking about. He ain't know what you're talking about. He ain't no historian. Would make a difference to nobody. I have listened over and over and over and over to newscast after newscast, newspaper after newspaper, referring to the late Morris Bishop as the leader of the New Jewel movement. He never was. The New Jewel movement never had a leader. Never had a leader. But I keep hearing that they had this leadership struggle and he was the leader. Wasn't. But we write what we want people to read. And that's just one that I picked out at random. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a comment about the facilities at Paragon for the COVID testing.
Mm-hmm.
I was up there this morning and everybody that go there, sometimes people, if you have to get an operation or anything, you have to go there to get a test first. I was up there this morning and there are no facilities. Sometimes you have to wait outside by the guard for 2 hours and there are no bathroom facilities. And when you go inside in the back to do the testing, there are no bathroom facilities and sometimes you have to be there for, I was this morning for over 2.5 hours. And you have to, there are no bathroom facilities and you have to be urinating on the people premises, which is not right, and but there's no facilities, no bathroom facilities. There's something real wrong about that there. Real wrong.
You raised it with anybody there and asked them if there were facilities and you didn't see them?
I asked for bathroom facilities and there were none, and there's a lady who was there and she had to be urinating on the grass and we were chastised for it. And but there are no facilities nowhere near around for the public to use. About 10 or 12 cars were parked outside this morning, and there are people there wanted to use the bathroom, and there were no bathroom facilities. Not even a chemical toilet, none.
That is, I really am quite surprised by that, sir. I think that's something that needs to be corrected because that's an area that's in demand given our current environment. Thank you for bringing that to attention. I'd say thank you with a bit of a twist in my tongue because let's hope it is corrected, sir. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon.
I'm going to be very, very, very quick.
All right.
You know when ladies buy a dress and they think it's the only there that have this dress and then they go to the party and you see another woman wearing the dress
yes,
and they
sir.
Push it in the face?
Uh-huh.
I feel that way about Mr. Nasser's contribution and I feel that way about the fact that you just touched where it was going to take you.
Which so is? Now you need to behave yourself.
Yes, yes. So let me be quick. Mr. Johnson, on behalf of us, the younger persons, we acknowledge that the recently awakened global people aided and abetted by COVID lockdown and stress, and of course the hypocrisy of the U.S. justice system, finally being exposed by social media, we apologize, sir, for taking so long to grasp what you have been saying for years. I keep picturing a young DJ marching in Grenada. It always before me. Because when you shared that years ago, I have never forgotten it, and I see you with the passion. But you just tell Mr. Nasser you ain't 16 no more. That brings me directly now to the awakening that I am excited and hopeful and really hope that they mean what they say. And this exactly and precisely to Minister Simmons and Kettle. Now, you just mentioned Miss Brown. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear Miss Brown, so you know, go look for that now, too.
Yeah, there's a, yeah, go and read Miss Brown. It's an interesting piece of writing.
I mean, interesting speech. I know a lot of Barbados may not have watched it or whatever the case may be, but the fact that he was bold enough to say what he's saying in the position that he is in, I could not help but think, what about the pushback? What if the powers that be say, but hold on, we are not letting go of all this power because it would mean that we have to lower our, we got to fire some people and all, so on and so forth. I mean, did he weigh the consequences? Is he prepared to march all the way to the end to say good justice is now being served and there's more equality across the land? And by the same token, Ms. Kettle says, those of you who love us and supported us, we really don't want the perception that we're being bought and paid for to continue. That's two bold, bold things to say. So I'm very curious to what Ms. Brown has said, Mr. Brown has said, and I'm going to read that. So the reason I wanted to get in was to say they all are connected. They have always been connected. And I'm very thankful for COVID-19, which has given us enough time to pause and listen and learn. And I still troops, when you think about all the years I was told about Christopher Columbus and told that the white men in cowboy suits were the heroes and the Indians were
rode in on the white horse.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you as well, sir. You know, sometimes we innocently pick up things that we shouldn't take for granted. The WhatsApp message said, Dennis, don't know what happened when the guy went for the COVID-19 test, but I took someone there to get one, and bathrooms as facilities were very available. That's why I said I was a little shocked about that. Brassax, good afternoon. You might get the final word.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a first-time caller. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm calling because I have a very deep concern about the election process going on in Guyana. And why is it that there's so much outside forces pushing to get a party that has invalid votes, dead people voting for them, into power? Guyana is a sovereign country, as far as I know, and we should be able to make our own decisions.
Were you part? Did you vote? Were you in Guyana to vote?
No, I wasn't. I was here.
So how do you know that dead people voted?
I have been following it from the inception. Mr.
No, how
Johnson,
do you know?
The chief elections officer brought out a report telling the chairperson of GCOM that there's invalid votes, there are persons, there are a lot of anonymous.
And you're taking him, and you're taking him on his word. Is that
Mr.
what you're
Johnson,
saying?
Mr. Johnson, okay, I don't have to take him on his word. It went to the Court of Appeal. Why is it that the minister from Barbados?
You can't make that statement. You cannot make that statement because the statement is incorrect. Let me say to you that Guyana's history with electoral practices throughout the years has been a source of grave concern to not only Guyanese in the diaspora, but people in Guyana and indeed various members of the Caribbean fraternity, the concerned about the brothers and sisters on the South American mainland. And it is unfortunate that after all these years, all the changes that have taken place in that country, that the election process seems to still be mired in controversy, mistrust, and this twisting and turning of election petitions and court hearings and accusations of stuffed ballots. Guyana is the only country in the Caribbean I know that one year actually had over 100% turnout in a box. Never heard it in any other Caribbean country. And it is unfortunate that the powers that be in Guyana and the members of the Guyana diaspora seem not to grasp the fact that the longer it takes to declare an election, the more suspect it seems. Thank you for your contributions on this Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you, Michelle, for taking care of things technical. To those of you who just listened, to those who sent messages, and those who actually engaged, on behalf of the team, have a good afternoon.
Mm-hmm.